Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Solara Active Pharma Sciences Limited Q2 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Abhishek. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Very good afternoon, and thank you for joining us today for Solara earnings call for the second quarter and half-year ended financial year 2026. Today, we have with us Sandeep Rao, MD and CEO, and Sharat Kumar, CFO of the company, to share the highlights of the business and financials for the quarter. I hope you've gone through our results release and the quarterly investor presentation that have been uploaded on our website as well as Stock Exchange website. The transcript for this call will be available in a week's time on the company's website. Please note that today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and must be viewed in relation to the risks pertaining to our business. After the end of this call, in case you have any further questions, please feel free to reach out to the investor relations team. I now hand over the call to Mr. Sandeep Rao to make his opening comments.
Thank you. Thank you, Abhishek. To start with, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and thank you all for joining in today's Q2 FY26 earnings call. At the outset, I appreciate your time and presence in the call. Further to our earlier communications, we had informed you that the primary focus of the organization is on repivoting from reset to what we called as sustainable, scalable, and reliable growth. While our transformational journey remains intact, our financial performance during this quarter was impacted primarily by short-term disruptions, and these short-term disruptions are arising from an unscheduled operational shutdown of our Mangalore facility on account of facility upgradation. This operational shutdown resulted in delayed deliveries and reduced volumes manufactured out of the facility for the quarter. Of course, the positive impact of this, if I may say, is that we went through a U.S. FDA audit between 25th and 29th of August, and back again, we successfully cleared this audit with two minor observations of procedural nature. If you remember, in the last call, we talked about a successful inspection of our Ambernath facility as well. This short-term disruption is a one-time disruption. It is transitory in nature. On the financials, these short-term disruptions have impacted our current quarter financial performance. The revenue has a 2% marginal decline QOQ, delivering INR 314 crores. Gross margin continues to reflect a healthy profile at 51%, with an absolute gross margin of INR 160 crores, which reflects a decline of around 8% on a QOQ basis. Our operating costs for the quarter have increased by around 9 crores QOQ, driven primarily by annual cost increases as well as one-time upgradation costs of 4 crores related to the Mangalore facility. The net result is an EBITDA of 35 crores, which reflects a QOQ degrowth of close to 39%, again driven primarily by sales and gross margin shortfall, which impacted by the short-term operational shutdowns and the one-time OpEx increase. To give you a perspective, given the Mangalore operational shutdown, we lost almost 30-35 crores in top line and around 18-20 crores at a gross margin level. To give you a perspective, if these numbers were achieved, our performance would have been on par with Q1, if not better. While these factors, again, business contribution from regulated markets remains very strong at 75% of overall sales. While these factors influence current quarter results, as I mentioned earlier, they are transitory. The underlying fundamentals of the business remain strong. It is supported by a resilient operating model, a robust compliance framework, and a diversified portfolio across all our key markets. Building on a stellar compliance record, the next couple of quarters we'll see an increased focus on operational deliveries, business expansion, our continued focus on gross margin and EBITDA growth, alongside the focus on tight cost control, OpEx leverage, debt reduction, and network optimization. Lastly, I would like to thank our shareholders for their continued support and trust in Solara. With this, I will hand it over to Sarath, our CFO, for his opening remarks.
Thank you, Sandeep. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. And first of all, thank you for joining in for our Q2 earnings call, especially it being a day in some parts of India. As shared by Sandeep, although we are slightly disappointed as we report marginal degrowth in sales as well as in terms of absolute gross margin for the current quarter Q2, but I'm satisfied that our business maintains a healthy gross margin profile of 51%+. We as a team do acknowledge that the business for the current quarter has been impacted by these short-term disruptions, but at the same time, we are absolutely confident that both the medium-term as well as long-term business fundamentals remain the same, and we look forward to a quick improvement in our financial performance in the upcoming quarters. Having said that, during this quarter, as a business, we have delivered marginal degrowth on top line, but with a healthy margin profile of 51%, which is close to some 264 basis points lower on a Q1Q basis, which is predominantly driven because of a slightly change in the absolute product mix during this quarter. The operating costs were slightly higher on a Q1Q basis by close to 8.9 crores, which, as Sandeep mentioned, were primarily driven because of one-time operating costs of close to 4 crores, which was driven by unscheduled operational shutdown at our Mangalore facilities. Hence, this impact with a mix of decline in absolute gross margins resulted in Solara clocking an EBITDA margin of 11% with an absolute EBITDA value of 35.2 crores. Which reflects a degrowth of close to 39% Q1Q, but as Sandeep said, this is something which is a short-term disruption. We, in our journey, continue to actually focus on our operating costs as well as margin expansion, as which is incremental business growth at healthier margins. Focusing on a healthier balance sheet, we have been able to reduce our debt by close to 153 odd crores during H1 of FY26. Which reflects close to 20% reduction in our opening debt, roughly 113 crores of that coming from our first call money of the rights issue, and balance close to 40 crores coming from the operational cash which the business has generated. Further, we have a line of sight to reduce our debt to close to 446 odd crores by Q1 of FY27. Which would give us a much healthier net debt to EBITDA ratio of close to 1.5x. Going ahead, we will continue our ongoing actions on improving profitability through cost improvement programs, operating cost optimization, and optimizing working capital and debt as we continue to pivot the organization from reset to growth. At the end, thank you very much for your support and time, and we are happy to take your questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Naman Bhansali from Nine Rivers Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I have two set of questions. First is on the gross margins, which have declined even after adjusting for the deferred delivery of our higher margin products and are now below the guided range of 53 to 55%. So could you help us understand the key reasons behind this? And also, are we confident of reverting to the guided margin range over the coming quarters? That is the first question. And second is on the fixed cost. So even after adjusting the one-time cost, our fixed cost stands at around 121 crores per quarter, which is compared to the 110 crore-115 crore over the past few quarters. So what is driving this increase? And should we consider this particular 121 crore as the new run rate going forward?
Naman, thank you for your question. So, okay, I'll actually take the first question first. So what I understand is, as you rightly pointed out, even after adjusting for the deferred sales what we had because of the short-term disruption, our gross margin profile would be still in the range of close to 52.5% kind of a percentage put together, which, as compared to earlier quarters of 54%, is a slightly a dip. But having said that, we will always have a certain change in product mix from each quarter to, like, from one quarter to the other. So we are always confident of maintaining a healthy gross margin of more than 51%-52%, kind of a, that kind of a range. But, depending on individual product mix for that particular certain quarter, we can see a range between 51%-54%-55% kind of a number. So, that was with respect to gross margin. And having said that, going forward, we are also confident of maintaining that particular healthy gross margin profile of close to 51%+. Second, when it comes to operating costs, rightly said, even after adjusting for that particular cost, our cost base will be close to 120-odd crores. What is driving that number from 115 kind of a range is, we have gone through our annual inflationary hikes in terms of human resource costs, and then a few other annual inflationary costs. And for this additional volumes, historically, we have been taking some regular shutdowns at our one of the plants to depending on the demand. But with this increased volumes, we are foreseeing that we will not be required to take that shutdown, which was actually saving on that cost. So going forward, on a consistent basis, we expect this cost base to hover around 117 crores-120 crores, depending on the volumes what we generate.
Got it. That is very helpful. Thank you. That is normal.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Anand Mundra from Soar Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Sir, just wanted to understand about this shutdown. How long was the shutdown, and what was the period of the same, periods of the same?
The shutdown was in the month of August, and we shut the plant for 3-4 weeks.
Okay. And what is the benefit of this shutdown, sir, in terms of upgradation, in terms of production capacity or increase in capabilities?
No, I think I remember in some call we had mentioned some of our plants are aging plants, they are old plants, and they frequently require refurbishment. So this was a major upgradation exercise that we took up in the Mysore facility. In the Mangalore facility, we took up a significant upgrade. We spent, as Sharat said, we spent almost 4 crore-5 crore in that upgrade. The good news is that thanks to the upgrade, the upgrade was followed by a U.S. FDA audit between 25th and 29th August, and we successfully cleared that audit with only two minor observations. But that audit, that operational shutdown was a very unscheduled shutdown for 3-4 weeks. I hope that answers your question.
Noted, sir. Sir, another question is, there is a sharper drop in revenue in regulated market in this quarter. So, though there is some drop because of facility shutdown, but what about the other parts, sir?
So our contribution to regulated markets continues at 75%, even in this quarter.
Yeah, okay. With respect to absolute amount, I was saying. So if you take an absolute amount number, it is sharper than the overall number.
In all likelihood, it will be related to the shutdown in the Mangalore facility. Our Mangalore facility is among our most profitable facilities. Typically, products that come out of that facility have more than 60% gross margin, and a lot of those products are headed to the regulated markets.
Okay. Sir, another question is, we are consistently showing more than 50% EBITDA gross margin. So only thing which is due is revenue size. Like, how long it will take for us to reach our historical peak of 450 crore revenue? per quarter?
Very good question. We are also aspiring to get to that level at the earliest, and we think it is achievable at some point in time. But you know, more than the top line of 450, we are really focused on the EBITDA levels. So I think going forward, we are going to make choices, business choices, on selling the right set of products to get to our EBITDA levels. But 450 remains an aspirational target. Right now, we are looking at one quarter at a time.
Okay, and sir, any guidance with respect to for this financial year with respect to EBITDA and revenue growth?
So we have not issued any guidance, but what we said in Q1 is we've given an outlook, and that outlook stated that we'll do 10% increment on the sales and roughly 15-20% EBITDA. For now, we will stick to that.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Jagadish Sharma, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I'm audible?
Yeah.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So I have two questions. Now, first question is like, how many DMF filings do we have right now, and how many products are there in the market? This is my first question.
So right now we have roughly 90 to 95 DMF filings in the US, of which active products are around 35 to 40.
Okay. My second question, sir, could you talk a little bit about our plan for launching new products and key ones which could drive growth for us for the next 2-3 years?
So good question, because new products is the growth engine for us. So we started the exercise on new products. In fact, we've identified a number of products which we have started working on, but given our industry, you know that there is a life cycle in getting those products to the market. Right, so we have to go through manufacturing, validations, site approvals, regulatory approvals. So it will take 2-3 years for us to get these new products to the market, but we have already started the process of identifying and developing.
Understood. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is in the line of Sajal Kapoor from Anti-Fragile Thinking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sandeep, we have slipped into this incorrigible habit of reporting a new quote-unquote one-time volatility almost every quarter. I know you have joined recently, but Solara has a track record of solid, you know, one-time. And this is just an observation, not a question. Question really is, why was preventive maintenance not planned to avoid a Q2 hit? And of the 40 million cited as the one-time shutdown cost, was any portion capital in nature or linked to compliance upgrades?
Sajan, thank you for your question. So, first of all, when we say, obviously this particular shutdown was actually planned. If you actually recall, Sandeep said that we had this unscheduled shutdown for an extended period of 3 to 4 weeks. So based on our normal preventive schedule, we always plan a shutdown of close to 1 week kind of a number, wherein we will do most of the refurbishments and done for this thing. Now, when we started this particular preventive maintenance, some of the other areas were identified which we wanted to actually cover this as part of this particular maintenance exercise itself. And add to that, we had some external climatic challenges in terms of extended monsoon at Mangalore, which extended this particular shutdown time from 1 week to close to 3 to 4 weeks. So that's on that particular piece, why this was exactly not planned. Second question was in terms of this entire 40 million of one-time OPEX, what we're talking about, this is entirely OPEX in nature. Something which was done to in terms of upgrade of the plant, that is considered as part of CAPEX, that is not OPEX.
So, Sajal, hi.
Yeah, understood.
Sandeep here. See, Sajal, I acknowledge the point. I acknowledge the disappointment because I thought in Q1 we were already on a growth curve, and I hear you loud and clear about these setbacks that Solara keeps supporting. But I'd like to see the bright side of it also, that in 2 quarters we've cleared Ambernath and in this quarter Mangalore successfully with the FDA in a day and time where a lot of large companies are running into issues with the FDA. Our track record is stellar.
hopefully going ahead, both these sites are behind us in terms of compliance. And now we can focus just on operational deliveries and growth that this new team set out to do.
No, absolutely, Sandeep. I know this is a beautiful facility. It's ex-Sequent as Mangalore one. So yeah, I appreciate that. And next one on this, you know, this exceptional sequential rise in the total expenses. Can we just double-click there a bit? I mean, is it related to employee costs? Is it power, logistics, or R&D? What exactly is the nature of this rather steep sequential rise in expenses?
Okay. So I'll take this question, Sujal. So again, on a kind of a quarterly run rate, excluding this one-time cost, that incremental cost is close to 4.5 crores on a quarterly basis. So just to put a color on this particular bit, out of this 4.5 crores, close to 2.5 crores is in terms of incremental manpower costs, partly driven by annual hikes what we roll out, which has been effective from Q2. And second, additionally, is, as we said earlier, depending on the volumes, one of our sites, we used to take invariably 1 month shutdown for every quarter. But since we are doing slightly higher volumes from this particular quarter and we were kind of gearing up for higher volumes, that particular shutdown timing has reduced drastically to just 1 week instead of 1 month. So that's the reason we said going forward, we see our base to somewhere around close to 117-120, depending on the corresponding volumes for that particular quarter. If we will require that plant to be shut down for 1 month, then probably you will see our OpEx base at 116, 117. Otherwise, it will be 119, 120.
No, understood. And Sharad, a couple of bookkeeping questions very quickly.
Sure.
The net current liabilities in the balance sheet, they exceed the assets by over 70 crores, if I read it correctly. I mean, how does the management justify, you know, continuing operations with this kind of a liquidity profile? That's one. And then I'll just state all of them. So that's one, that's 70 crores on the current liabilities. This other one is, you know, this, how are these current liabilities related to this delayed payments to vendors or banks, and, you know, days payable outstanding kind of, and am I linking the dots correctly there? And then on the inventory, the levels have been historically very high. Are inventories kind of getting aged or obsolete? I mean, we took a write-off of the inventories COVID-related, right, ages ago. And why the inventory levels are still high, or is it for non-core molecules? I mean, what exactly is the mix in that inventory, which is running at inflated levels?
So I'll actually take both the questions. One is in terms of what is for current liabilities being higher, and that is actually putting a stress on the liquidity situation of the company. That is something which we also acknowledge as fact. But you would also have to appreciate that when we are actually planning our inventory or we are planning our entire raw material procurement, we are actually not planning that particular procurement as well as inventory levels for a 100 crores kind of a sale, which we have been reporting for the last two quarters. We have an endeavor to grow those sales to close to 350 crores plus kind of a number. So something which we had a like kind of a short-term disruption and stuff like that, which has got these deferred sales. So that is having a kind of a double impact. One is whatever is getting deferred in terms of sales from a planning standpoint, that is getting into inventory. Second, since I've already procured those raw materials, that is also adding up to my current liabilities. This is on the current going on trend. Having said that, historically also Solara had quite a few overdue creditors, which we are gradually bringing in down. And currently, as we speak, we have close to our DPO, like outstanding days will be close to 120, 150 odd days as compared to our normal payment terms of 60 to 90 days payment terms. So that is something we would like to address in next two quarters. So it would take roughly two quarters for us to get to a comfortable DPO of close to 75 to 90.
Understood. That's helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm audible, sir.
Yes.
Yes, you're audible.
Yeah, thank you very much, sir, for this opportunity. Now, sir, you mentioned that we stick to about 10% revenue growth and 15 to 20% EBITDA growth. So are you talking on the adjusted basis or, I mean, on the report? Because the loss that we have done in the second quarter, so first half our net-net, we don't have any kind of profits. At, I mean, we are zero at the PAT level. So how should one look at, I mean, we stick to the guidance. I mean, are you speaking on the adjusted basis?
No, so when we are actually talking about guidance, we are talking about on FY25 base only. So we still expect our H2 to be much stronger than H1.
Okay. Okay. Because ideally that means your second half EBITDA margin has to improve substantially, right? I mean, to have that growth in EBITDA. I mean, FY25, I think base was around 205.6 crores around.
So
what the aspirational EBITDA margins that we are looking at? I mean, you did mention that we are focused on we are focused more on the EBITDA side, right?
Yes. So, see, if you actually recall what Sandeep says, what was sales which we got deferred by close to 35 odd crores, that would have given us an incremental gross margin of 20 crores. So that would have straight away flown down to my cost base is almost at certain level. Okay. Second is when you put aspirational EBITDA numbers which we are tracking, which we are working towards, is close to 20% margin. It is slightly higher than what we reported for FY25, which was around 17%.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And by when we are looking to achieve this aspirational margins?
Q4.
By fourth quarter, right?
Yes, correct. Yeah, correct.
Okay, understood. And how much, I mean, 75% revenue comes from regulated market, right? So is it majority is US only?
No, actually it is quite evenly distributed between US and Europe. Europe is also a big market for us.
Mm-hmm.
And a smallish portion comes from Japan and stuff. When you say regulated markets, we use US, Europe, and Japan.
Understood. So any tariff impact you see on the US side?
None,
right?
That's correct.
Okay. And secondly, on the debt reduction plan that you have laid out, by May 26, we are expecting debt to reduce to 450 crores. And further, because of the demerger, you would again transfer that 200 crores to the CRAMS and polymer business. So effectively around 250 crores would be debt that will be left here, right? So
right.
Am I understanding correct? So how should one look at the finance cost in this business right now? I think we are doing some 20, 21 crores per quarter, right?
So currently our finance cost is close to 13%. You would expect that to be around similar levels.
Okay. So basically, your gross debt will reduce to 450 crores in 1 year. So 13% of 450 crores will be close to around, 60 crores something? I mean, that's what one should look at?
Yes, correct.
And this demerger, when we are planning to complete, I mean, the transfer of debt and all?
This is something which we are still working in progress. Once that scheme is finalized, then we'll actually come up with exact timeline.
Okay. And this 200 crores, the other business will be able to service? Because the revenue is very small for that business, right? Some 100 crores.
That business, as we said, right, so we will, that would be kind of, will have some significant gestation period as well as investments coming in. So that business should be able to service that. That's a growing business as well.
Okay, understood. I think that would be it from my side. All the way back to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Abhishek from Padmaja Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible, sir?
Yes, Abhishek.
Yeah, why have we not able to reduce our cost of debt? Like just now you said that it is 13%, like our leverage position also has significantly improved, right? What are the difficulties there? That's my question, no? And question two is, I understand that as of now you are giving us an outlook of 10% growth in revenue. Like, is the business capable of growing more than 10%?
Abhishek, you're not
Did you hear my question one?
First one we could hear. Second one we are struggling.
Second one is like as of now the outlook is 10%, right? Like, is the business possible to deliver more than that going forward, like in another 2 years or 3 years? Yeah, that's my question too.
You take the first. So I will take the second question. You're saying, is this growth number possible? I think the answer is very much yes. And this team is focused, as we said, our mantra has been to go from reset to sustainable, scalable and profitable growth. So yes, we're working on it. Number of levers are there. One is finding newer markets for our products, so strengthening our order books. So second is debottlenecking exercises. And in the long term, we are creating the R&D pipeline. So there is a short term and a long term view on how we want to grow our business.
Okay. Question one, sir.
Question number one, what you asked about is why is this interest cost so high and do we
correct
forecastable down? So currently, if you recall, like questions also what we answered, right? So our current liquidity position is not very favorable. Right? So having said that, to actually manage those particular liquidity situation, we also end up taking certain short term short-term sourcing of funds from here and there. That given this scenario, we expect that cost to be somewhere around that particular number itself. But having said that, obviously, as a company, we would like to reduce our cost of debt and something which we actively explore. But till the time we don't sign up an agreement wherein we can get debt at a lower cost, it would be very difficult on our part to commit to that.
Okay. If I may, I have another question. Like after the spin-off, will the catalog API business be able to grow, like compared to the other synthics, which has CRAMS and polymer chemistry business? Like the guidance you are saying, this 10% is for the whole consolidated entity as of now, right? But going forward, like the one you said, like debottlenecking exercises and all, you are referring to the catalog API business, right?
That is right. Primary to the catalog API business.
Okay. Thanks. That's all.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Raghu, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi, sir. Sir, is this sales which are lost, will this be serviced during the next quarter? Quarter 3?
Yes. Is it a loss? Will it return next quarter?
Yeah. The answer is that we haven't lost those at business. We will operationally need to deliver to make sure that we can. Yes, we will cut business.
So the business, the revenues which we were not able to show in Q2. Those will get added up in Q3. That's what you mean.
At the end of the day, we have lost 4 weeks of production. So we will have to produce as much material to cater to the business. So have the orders, purchase orders gone? The answer is no. Can we manufacture as much? That's something we will have to see as a quarter. But we will service that business, if not in Q3, then in Q4. But that business is not gone anywhere.
Okay. Sure. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Next question is from the line of Amresh Kumar from Geosphere Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thank you for the opportunity. And I was disconnected for a while, so I'm not sure if I'm asking this question again. So my question would be on your further investments, both in qualitative and quantitative terms, as to what kind of money are we going to invest in this half, next year and so on. And secondly, when we talk about fulfilling our deferred revenue or the deferred orders, what kind of capacity utilization are we working on right now? And the third question, I'm not sure if it has been asked before, any update on the IDU pricing and your own contribution to the overall revenues in the last quarter?
Okay, future investments. Look, we are not going to be making any big investments. All we are aiming to small bite-sized investments, just bottlenecking our capacity. And whilst we are speaking with you, we have already done it, so it is work in progress. Secondly, about the, I think your second question was about the deferred revenue, right? The extent that we can manufacture our products, I think we should more or less make up for the lost revenue over the next years. Regarding IVU pricing, you know, a couple of quarters back we had said we are very key about which customers we want to work with. Our priority is not line, our priority is gross margin and EBITDA. So to that extent, marquee customers where we have sticky pricing and good gross margin is where we continue to service the IVU requirement, right? In terms of our total IVU business for last quarter, that number was around 30%.
Got it. And can we divide it between the plain and the derivatives like you did in the last quarter?
So usually we don't put up these, we don't sort of tell you the details in these numbers, but since you're asking the question, we'll tell you that it's roughly around 20% for the plain IVU, 20 to 22%, and around 8 to 10% of the derivatives.
Got it. So same like last quarter. So going back to my first question on capex part, so we have already spent close to 29 crores in the first half. So can you give a number going forward as to what this would be like?
So we can't give you a number, but as you can see that you're already advised, we have the liquidity issues we have. We are investing our capex wisely into small bite sizes for debottlenecking capacity. So we have to make sure that all our projects are executed on time. News for the increased capacity clicks in, so we can fund further capex. So at this point, I can't give you a number, but it'll all depend
on
how our existing capex projects go.
Got it, sir. No problem. And thank you so much, and all the best for the coming quarter, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. The next question is in the line of Prolin Nandu from Edelweiss Public. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. Few questions from my side. One is that, you know, constantly on the call you have been mentioning that you are thinking about the profitable growth and, you know, picking the right client. So incremental, and also you mentioned, you know, incremental sales will come at a higher margin. Could you just give some texture around this, right, as to how this will happen? Will it, will you follow the same, you know, road or same kind of a plan like you did in ibuprofen where, you know, you have increased the percentage of derivatives? And also, you know, related to this question would be, you know, you mentioned that in our industry it takes 2-3 years of, you know, approval cycle and so on and so forth. So is it fair that the large part of mix improvement in our, you know, incremental sales will come only at the back end of these 2-3 years? Or how should one think about, you know, the profitability part on incremental sales from the current base?
So you've asked many questions. Let me take it one at a time. You are right. You caught us right. We are talking of profitable growth coming from incremental sales. We are making a conscious choice to put our capex into areas where we get high gross margin. Even when we want to allocate capacity, we allocated manufacturing that give us higher gross margin. So it's a conscious call, whether it's in the development or it's a product that we manufacture for sale, we are making those conscious calls to be in products that drive profit. Okay. In the previous quarters, we said even about ibuprofen, we made a conscious call that we don't want to focus as much on the plain. We want to focus on more value-added ibuprofen, I might call it, which is the derivatives. R&D pipeline will take 2 to 3 years to bite of the day. Till then, I think there are... Since the profitability is going to be our focus, I think there are many more things that we have to do. One is we have to find newer markets for our products so that we can improve our order book. We need to focus on getting cost reduction initiatives on each of our products.
we need to focus on further debottlenecking of products that are where the demand outstrips the capacity we have. Right? So there are a lot of different ways in which we can improve profitability.
Sure, that was helpful. Thank you. So just want to double click on this, right? The same aspect that you mentioned. You know, see, finding these new markets and all, right? How challenging it is given our product profile, right? While we have shown results in ibuprofen, but similar sort of results are going to be possible in some of the core products where we focus on the strategic clients and maybe focus more on the derivative side. Just wanted to understand this, going by your experience talking to the customers and trying to find new market, how easy or difficult is this going to be?
So there are a lot of attractive markets around the world outside the US, Europe and Japan. For example, there are good markets in Latin America, there are markets like South Korea, there are markets in Middle East. This effect, if you remember, we announced that we had hired a chief commercial officer a couple of years back, comes with immense experience in markets, both the regulated markets as well as markets outside. From a capacity utilization standpoint, I think our facility is run at roughly 70% capacity utilization, so there is enough capacity available to get into the new market. So I think we have the reach. Yes, we have the reach. We are also hiring the right talent that will open these markets for us. Do we have the capacity to manufacture products for these new customers? The answer is yes. If we can marry both of these, then I think profitable growth through incremental sales is very much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. One last question would be on the balance sheet, right? While you have given a roadmap of how we reduce the debt and, maybe the demerger plans are also going to be finalized. But then, as previous participants also touched upon the liquidity situation, which is a bit precarious. So do we have any, sort of a backup plan, in case if, our projection of cash flows do not work out, right? How do we manage the liquidity situation there? And also related to that would be, this demerger scheme where you have called out, 200 crores will be transferred. Maybe when the demerger scheme is finally approved, maybe that entity will not have enough sales to probably cater to the debt. So do we see a scenario where before demerger there could be some investment which might happen in that entity, or it could be, together with demerger, something on those lines?
Okay. You rightly point out, right? So liquidity situation is something which we are absolutely mindful of. That is something, as I said in my previous question response, I also are looking forward to roughly close to 2 quarters wherein we will actually get, it will take roughly 2 quarters to set this thing. The second question on your investment in that particular new business, that is something only once it is out, then we will have a new investment coming into that particular business. We don't anticipate any investment from our side into that particular business because it will have significantly longer.
That's it from my side, sir. Thanks a lot and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Chetan Vesanya, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, I have one question. Do we have any update on the Vizag facility? Because last year it was taken up for retrofitting. And have we started operating commercially? And is there any contribution in terms of revenue to a full scale?
So right now that facility for the most part remains now, right? We will start the facility only once partnerships on the gram side. Now you just mock.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Ameya Deosarai, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. So last quarter in the call, you had indicated that, we want to pivot from a stable to a growth phase again at Solara, right? but we keep having these one-offs. So now, looking at what has all happened, what is the team internally doing to avoid these, you know, incremental one-offs? Because to get back on that growth curve, we need to be able to have a visibility, right? So could you comment on that?
If I had it, I would want an answer to this question even before you asked it, right? We want to have at least 3-4 quarters of just to prove it to ourselves, even more than proving it to you, that we have a turnaround story here, right? So in that sense, we are always looking for what can get down this. And in this case, as Sarath mentioned, this one-off, we anticipated that we will do shutdowns, but something that doesn't need a few days. But unfortunately, it took us at least 4 weeks of operational shutdown. Right? And when I say up and running, it's more of an upgrade issue. Right? So, for now, I don't see. But we will keep our eye out for any such thing that can dampen our prospects going forward.
Okay, all the best. Thank you.
Thank you very much. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Thanks a lot, everybody. I know it's been a yo-yo ride with Sarath for some time, but I will reiterate that we strongly believe in our fundamentals. I think the underlying fundamentals of our business remain strong. Continue believing in us, and we thank you for your continued support and trust. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Solara Active Pharma Sciences Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.